Blog Talk Radio.
Is the computer buffering?
The bigger duet.
Oh,
Jazzy
oh,
fizzle.
No.
Fizzle, fizzle. Jaggedy.
That's the wrong one. There. Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man, Beach Bum Gun, live on the off-ramp September 1st. It's the first of the month, so cash your checks and come on. I think that's the only words I know to that song. I don't think there's there's many other words I can really spit from a bone. So I was wondering why the verses were so intense with 3-6. I don't think anybody really cared about either one of their music like that. But, you know, you learn something new every day. Welcome to the Off-Ramp, the show for the people, by the people, that invite the people. It's a show me and my folks get together, rap about the week's mathematics. See what's popping in these streets. See what's going on in your hood, my hood, everybody hood. You know, see, it's a place where we can come together and discuss the different things going on in the world, man. Share your opinions, share your thoughts, share your feelings. We can have intelligent discussion. We can crack some jokes. We get together every Thursday at 9 p.m. just because I don't want to bother y'all on a Friday. And, you know, that's just one of them things where, you know, it's a safe space. We hide the names and the faces to protect the innocent. I want everyone to be able to be honest. I want everyone to be able to, you know, be able to express themselves without fear of losing a job. But I also don't want nobody to be ignorant out here. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's usually good folks out here. So, you know, we all kind of just kick it. So if you want to call in, feel free. You can hit us up on any of the social media platforms. If you want to call in, you can call in 929-477-3975. We're on all the social medias. We're on the Twitters. We're on the Facebooks. We're on the Instagrams. We everywhere. We out there in these streets. Now, I'm terrible at checking them. So I'll tell you that now. But, you know, we try. We try to stay in touch with the people. Try to get the people what they want. And I'm not great at it, but it's the effort that counts. So, again, we'll call in 929-477-3975. Any other housekeeping items? Not really. I think that's pretty much it. A lot of stuff going on in the streets. We got special elections. I didn't even realize Sarah Palin was still out here in these streets running for governor or whatever she is. Like, isn't there like a time limit for these things? What else has happened? They found Mars. They can make oxygen on Mars now. You know, a lot of stuff going on in the world, and it's a place where we can come talk about. We got football on. Anybody on football tonight? We got college football tomorrow. And that's about it. I think we can start getting ready for the show. I mean, we're all ready for the show, but start ready to introduce these topics. I got I forgot your nickname already. What up, bro? What's your nigga name? What are we calling you tonight, yo? Here. He on the line, and Hey, we used to call you ABC. What we call you?
Oh, you call him Cino.
Cino.
Yeah, you can
Cino.
Go with that.
Watch your background, boys.
Yeah,
watch
you
your
can
background.
Go with Cino.
All right. Hello? Casino, welcome to the offering, my brother. How you doing tonight?
Chilling, man. What's good?
Not much, man. It's a beautiful Thursday. It's humid. Just got done football practice, but I have no complaints, man. I have no complaints. Now, me and you spoke earlier, and we're getting... Uh-oh. Who getting yelled at?
Yo.
Is my niece getting yelled at?
No. They watching Big Brother. They got to watch their show on
okay.
TV together. What's good, though? You talking about what we were rapping about earlier?
Yeah. I know you called me. We were talking about the crisis in Jackson, Mississippi. This was one of the things that, you know, it happened in Flint, but it didn't happen the exact same way. It seemed like there was unprecedented flooding going on in Mississippi due to storms. You know, it's hurricane season. They got a storm. And the floods took out the main water pump in Jackson. And now all of a sudden, Jackson, Mississippi has no drinking water. And what do you think of the situation?
At first I was hot because, you know, we obviously had what happened in Flint, being predominantly black and having those issues. And, you know, as soon as I seen Jackson, Mississippi, I was like, watch, let me look at the demographics. And it was like 80% black. And I was really mad. I was like, you know, it's just, you know, a dereliction of duty. They're not doing what they need to do to, you know, take care of us. So I wasn't even mad. I looked up. They got a, you know, Mississippi got a Republican governor. But then I did some more digging, and I seen they got a Democratic, you know, the local folks are Democratic. And they black. And at least the mayor is. And so, it's like, well, you know, who is really responsible at this point? You know, who can I be mad at? And, you know, from what the little information I've been able to kind of research and glean is just like one of those things where you can be mad at everybody, but at the end of the day, we just need to work together. You know, there was a brother who was on TV talking about it, and I just knew he was going to get up there and be like, you know, I'm hot. You know, this Republican white governor is not doing what he needs to do for our people, and he really just really kept it classy. He was like, yo, I don't care about the politics. I don't care about none of that. You know, this is something that needs to be fixed, and we need to work together. You know, this does not need to be politicized. And when I heard that, I was happy that he said that. He spoke so well. But I am frustrated because it seems like, you know, when you look at all these things where race, poverty, and different things are put into the algorithm or the equation, it always seems like we always the ones that come up, you know. And it's just frustrating. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at with it. It's just frustrating. You know, you never hear about, you know, the nice side of town having issues with water or not having enough computers for the kids or not having the resources they need. You know, it's always the other side that is affected. So it's just a frustrating situation, and I don't know the answer. But, yeah, that's what we talked about.
Okay, so, and you know, man, and I'm trying to tread lightly, right? Because I don't want to seem disingenuous. I don't seem, you know, like, oh, I'm taking the other side just because I'm not really here to take any side. I'm really pleading in ignorance. Like, my first question is like, it seems like it's a natural disaster. Like, it just seems like, how can I put this? If a town that consistently gets hit with bad weather why are we blaming anybody? Like, are we saying that the white governor in this black city doesn't want these black people to have water? are we saying that this is a ploy to drive down the market value so the land becomes cheaper and they can rebuild it? Like, I feel like, I don't know if water is a private industry or the state, but this is a private industry thing. I don't know that we can just blame, like, a random Republican white governor. Like, it seems like it might be the power plant or the water plant's fault if they didn't take the proper precautions. And they might be white, I don't know. And I'm all for blaming them, but, you know, is this really politics? I guess that's my question. Why do you think this is politics? And you could be right. I could be dead wrong. This has to deal with politics. But it just seems like...
Well, I'm not throwing politics into it per se. That's just what the one guy said, the one guy on TV. But when he broke, the reason why I say politics is because right now, whenever something bad happens and you look for research, unless you do your own independent research, if you're lazy like I was yesterday, you go on the news, the first thing they do is politicize it. So that's the only thing you're going to get. And who's at fault? Who wasn't at fault? You know, this person not talking to that person. But from doing the brief amount of research, it's one of those things where they were having steady issues with the water system. They were doing little fixes, you know, keeping it cranking, keeping it, you know, they had multiple boil water notices that went out multiple times in the last couple of months, but even before they had that flood, where they're telling people in the capital of a state that you need to boil your water before you use it. So everybody across the board, especially locally, knew that the system was kind of kaput. But, you know, it's a situation where the tax, you know, we're talking about a really poverty-stricken area. Is it where there's not enough tax revenue, where you got to pick and choose what you fix? And in that case, you know, when do you make enough calls or make it enough of a national issue where you go, hey, we ain't making enough tax revenue to fix everything we got in here, and right now it's getting to the point where we can't fix our water. Please, federal government, come help us. So I do blame the local, you know, because when you ain't got it, it's your job, if you're in a position of power, to figure out how to get it. Like, that's your job, you know what I'm saying? And that means you got to humble yourself and say, hey, my city needs help, and that's what you got to do. And it just seems, for whatever reason, people keep on kicking the buck down, and, you know, that's what frustrates me, because it's okay to do that when it's not affecting, you know, high class America. It's always okay to do that, you know, in places like Flint, which is predominantly black, and that's just frustrating.
So you think that the governor isn't doing enough to bring help in, basically?
No, the mayor. My thing is, you know, the governor's in charge of the state. The governor's in charge of the state. They've had white mayors. They've had black mayors. And at some point, because you're the one who's overseeing, you know, when we pay the water bill where I'm at, I pay it to the county. You know, the county is ran by... I'm better off with cities, but like the city council, and then the, you know, council, you go above that, you got the mayor. So when I'm paying my water to the city, you know, if there's issues with those services, you know, that's something that's brought to the attention of whoever's leading that city. They said that's the mayor in the case of Jackson. And so when this guy was talking yesterday, he said it's not really a black or white thing, because we've had a black mayor, we've had a white mayor. And we've always just kind of kicked the can down the, you know, kicked it down the street as far as getting these fixes. So I'm blaming all leadership, you know, but I think it starts. I think at some point it starts with the county, who's got to – I'm waiting to see what has the county done to that's documented, where they say, hey, we are in a national state of emergency at this point because we about to be at the point where we ain't got water for folks. Like, I'm not seeing that. I'm hearing people saying, yeah, we kicked the can down the road, and, you know, the governor needs to get on board, and we need help from the federal government. Well, show me where you made this, where you took appropriate action to make this clear to everybody that you need to get this fixed, because it seems like I ain't never heard about this issue before now.
Okay.
But I think,
okay.
I think it starts at the local level.
Okay. I got my man MX in the building. MX, we're talking about the flood in Mississippi. Right.
Yeah.
You got a comment?
Apologize for my background noise too, man. But yeah, I'm just at a restaurant, but I'm not sure, you know, where my man is from. That was just talking. But I've been talking to brothers on the ground for the last 2 days, saying this plug to, you know, the great fraternity, Phi Beta Sigma. We actually taking donations for and shipping water down there, even though they're hard to find in the surrounding areas. But, you know, it is political, though. You know, one of the things is that when you look at a state capital of all places, right, where the representatives of that state go to make laws of that state, right, you can guarantee you that in the governor's mansion and the state house aren't having boiling water going on in that place. But the surrounding areas of a state capital or the low-income areas are being told to shower with their mouths closed. And you got people out here taking water out of rivers so they can have portable water, low water pressure, and all that kind of stuff. It's not a city issue when you have a reservoir that's not being properly maintained. The city don't manage the water reservoir or the dam. So when the flooding occurs, it stretches the reservoir, and then therefore they have to drain or they have to revert the water so it doesn't break the dam. And so it's a multifaceted kind of issue, because everybody on the ground, all the brothers that I've talked to, said that this has been going on since 2013, that nobody drinks the water since 2013. Because they know that it's in a poor state. So this ain't a new issue. Every time they flood, this happens. And they've had water shortages pretty much every year since 2013, right? So they're all prepared. The problem is that the lower income people can't have 5 gallon bottles, don't get water delivery. And so a lot of people stock up on water, bottled water, what have you, throughout the year, just in case something like this happens again. Right. And one of the other things that we want to point out is that Jackson, Mississippi, has one of the highest property taxes in the state. Right. And yet they have the poorest facilities. So let that ring a bell to you. Right. And the black mayor that's there did have to, you know, kind of like put, you know, his pride aside and go to a mayor. But you got to understand that that's still a Republican state, deep red state. Right. You know, so you're also dealing with that side too. And what I've been told is that they're trying to take over, right? They're almost trying to do the same thing that they did in the Fifth Ward in New Orleans. Like, if you're gonna come over, we want to come over and take over, right? So again, there is no incentive for them to come in as a state, right, to fix that system, unless they're going to try to come over. That's the play. And so that is kind of the political side of it. And it's shameful that it's got to yield to that, because, again, you know what I mean? Now, it's not all parts of the state, but just imagine the state capital, right, of all places, right, having this kind of issue. It's kind of unheard of. So I just think it's a sad situation. You know what I mean? And I'm doing everything I can to get water down to the people in the communities in Jackson, Mississippi. So I hope everybody who saw my post will donate for our efforts to get water there, because you can't even find water in nowhere near Jackson. And now it's starting to spill out into the surrounding counties where they can't get water either. So I'll just leave it off that, because I know my background's loud.
You good? Hey, make sure you send us the link. So that we can all donate. That's kind of crazy. I got my man SJ on the line. Big Cuz, what's happening?
Yes, sir. How you doing, my man?
Good, cuz. How you holding up?
Just up here doing all right. Glad to hear you're doing well.
Hey, yeah, no complaints on this. No complaints. We're talking about the Mississippi flooding situation. You got any comments on it?
You know what? I have to agree with a lot of the other callers. It is sad to see how they are not being taken care of, especially in areas that are primarily black. It seems like when things like this happen, all of a sudden the money goes away and there's no one left to help out. My comment is always to follow the money. You'll know what a state feels about a certain area by the amount of money that they generate, because you can bet in other areas where they are more quote unquote affluent and there's more money coming in, that's not happening. So I pray for them. I hope that things go well, and I hope that the state gets their act together.
Yeah, I mean, again, what Casino, me and him had this discussion. Again, a lot of it was ignorance on my part, as I just don't know how the moving parts work. You know, like when I pay water, I thought I was paying it to, I'll just say it because, you know, I don't hide nothing, but, you know, Hampton Roads Utility Company. You know, when I lived in Maryland and I was paying electric, I was paying the Baltimore Gas and Electric. I never took time to figure out if that was a state-run or, like, I never thought about it being political. I thought it was, you know, private institutions. But I guess as you get older, you kind of realize that the reason why these companies have monopolies, like, why is there only one or two electric companies in our area? Is it all run by the state? When MXR said that they have the highest property tax, like, part of me wishes I would have been a lawyer. I don't know if I'd have been a good lawyer, but these are the questions I have. Like, if your property tax is the highest in the area, citizens should be allowed to have an audit of their money. Like, where is this money going to? Like, if we have to pay to have, you know, if the property tax is expensive and that's the cost of living in the area, then we should know where our money's going. We should be able to earmark, just like the state requires state institutions to earmark certain money from donations so you can't just use your money wherever you want. Citizens should be allowed to earmark the money that, you know, they paid to the state. Now it gets a little complicated because, you know, most people don't even vote, let alone, you know, be able to have an earmark. But if a citizen wants to, you know, ask about, hey, where's the money going? I mean, it's shocking to hear an extra say that, like, this ain't nothing new. Like, that's scary. Like, hold on. Like, and it'd be ignorant of me to say, yo, why are people leaving that? I appreciate things Deion Sanders. Look, I know the poor. I know people. That's why I said it's ignorant to say why don't people leave. Because I know it's ignorant because poor people can't just leave. I get it. But, like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's, you know, where, like my cousin SJ said, like, where is this money going? Why has it, after we saw in Flint, if you're the governor of a place or you're the mayor of a place and your place is having a problem with water, which is the fundamental thing that we need to live, why aren't these people going to jail? Unless you're telling me that it's not really public, it's not really the mayor's and the governor's responsibility, it's the company. I feel like it's got to be easy to win an election down here. Like, I guarantee I'm going to get y'all clean water. I feel like I get an EW off of it.
That's a good point. I mean, a lot of it is the governors and your politicians are going to go where people vote. They're going to go to places where, you know what, where my constituents support me. Unfortunately, in a lot of areas that we are talking about, to your point, a lot of us don't vote. A lot of us don't get out. A lot of us don't do the research needed. A lot of what you're talking about is public record. If you go to your town hall or attend a couple of those, you know, town hall meetings, those are things that they vote on. I've actually been to them a couple, and it's scary that a lot of times they're empty, or you'll have just a couple of people asking about what is actually going on. So I encourage everybody, go to your town hall, go to your city hall, ask for the records. It's a lot of it's public record. They cannot deny you that. So go ahead, ask for it, find out where your money's going. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and to your point, Beach Farm, you know, it is a local in terms of property taxes, local. When you pay your water bills, local, but the infrastructure is a state thing, right? So the reservoir issue, the dam, that's state, right? So that's state funds, right? Just like the roads, right? You pay property taxes to live there, but the government, the state funds those infrastructure projects. So the filtration system that goes on, that's a state-run thing. That's not a local thing. That's what I mean, that it's not on just the mayor. Like, right, the filtration system is down. That's why people got to boil the water. They're putting Band-Aids on a broken filtration system, right? Like, that's state. That's not the mayor, right?
They ain't got no bridge.
He said that nobody's doing that. Nobody's drinking the water because they already know. Like, it's already, like, you know what I mean? Like, or they're in the surrounding areas that they're not in Jackson. People have been moving out of Jackson. The ones that could have been moving out of Jackson, right, in the surrounding areas. One, because it costs less to live there, and two, because they don't really get affected by this water issue.
Okay. Casino, you want to jump back in?
Yeah, well, I just, again, and I don't know the you know, but when it comes to, I disagree with the point on that it's the state's issue because of the filtration system. And, again, I'm not an expert on Mississippi, but I can tell you everywhere that I've lived, like in Chesapeake, I played the city of Chesapeake for my water. That money went to the city of Chesapeake. Like where I live at now in Virginia, I go to the county. I pay the county for my water bill. And it's the county who runs the water filtration system. And there's a different one for the county that's next to me. My next door neighbor, he actually works in the water facility for Henrico where I live at. And then if you want to go over to the county over, they have a separate filtration system. I think Richmond might be the city of Richmond. They actually do have a filtration system. I think they might partner with another county. It's kind of like they kind of cover more than just the exact city. But when it comes to most cities and counties, you might have a couple that kind of share, but it's not like a state-ran system. That's not the case. You know, it's not the, you know, like we have in Virginia, we have the Virginia Alcoholic Beverage Control who handles all liquor stores in the whole state. Or you have DMV who's responsible for all licensure when it comes to, you know, IDs for the whole state. You know, if we had a shortage on IDs, yeah, you could blame the state because they don't have enough IDs to give out to folks. This is not that situation. This is a situation where you have the city of Jackson, where people pay their utility bills that goes to the state. They don't pay the state of Mississippi for their utilities. They pay the city in which they live. You pay your water bill, it goes to pay for the water filtration the cost associated with cleaning your water, getting your water pumped out. All that is paid through your utilities. That's not a state thing. So I think, again, I don't want to blame just the city because you can only fix what you got money to fix. You know, it ain't free. And for whatever reason, they must be running into, and again, it's, you know, I agree with the one person that talked about, you know, attending city hall meetings and stuff like that, because if you go to those type of things, you can see where your tax dollars are being spent. And I do follow those, call me a nerd, but,
You know, sometimes like you can go look up on, you know, your county's website. I can see exactly in my school district what projects are being funded and how much money is going to different projects when they're voting on having different projects done. So I can see those things. But when I just want to correct that, it's not a state thing. Now, where I do think the state does owe, we all pay, even the citizens of Jackson, Mississippi, they pay state taxes. So, hey, not only am I supporting my city, but here I am also supporting the state when I pay, you know, retail or you know, other taxes. You know, when it comes out of my paycheck, I pay state taxes. So I feel like it's up to the local government to keep the state aware of, hey, this is what's going on. And I think at that point, you know, it's probably embarrassing. It's probably, you know, not something you want to do as far as making the call as a mayor saying, hey, I need you to fix this for me. Because what happens when that happens is, okay, well, you lose your autonomy. Now Big Bro's coming over here, and I'm going to do it. And the problem you have is I'm a little bro and I'm a Democrat. Big Bro's a Republican. We can't, as a nation, we can't talk about nothing right now when it comes to the division between Democrats and Republicans. That's a different type of Democrat Republican, right? You're talking about a deep red conservative governor who's probably, you know, running around with Trump flags, and you got a Democratic mayor. So he's not going to go to Big Homie and say, come help me, because I don't know if it's your pride, it's the politics. And for whatever reason, you know, I blame the local leaders and I blame the state, because at some point, even if you don't like somebody, if you want to aspire to be a leader, and we're talking about the basic necessities of water, if you can't overcome your differences to give people water, you don't need to be in that position. So I blame them all. But I just want to make sure we're clear on, you know, who's really responsible for, you know, running their local water supply. It's not the state. If anything, okay, the state might have
I said the infrastructure. I didn't say the operations. The determination on whether they let that dam break or not, or they put the water back in the reservoir, is a state thing. That the city does not make that determination on any kind of overall infrastructure. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying about the local issue. Jackson is surrounded by water. When it floods, right? When a flooding occurs, they have a dam that separates that reservoir, right? So they're using the reservoir. That's why they got a boiler, because it's not going to a filtration system. So that's all I'm saying. Is that so they can't let the dam break, so they have to divert the water somewhere else. They can't just – that's the same thing that happened in New Orleans, right, with the levees, right? That wasn't the city of New Orleans saying, hey, let the levees break. Let's come in and do that, right? That the people who own them levees, to figure out who built them, who set all that structure up, that's the state. That's not the city.
Okay.
So when it floods, all I'm telling you is that when it floods and the determination of who's going to divert the water, how that water's been diverted, the overall infrastructure, that's a state function. That's like saying you're paying taxes. So when you have a pothole in your city, yes, you call the city government and they handle their roads, right? But I'm not saying that. But the highways, the intercontinental highways, even though you say the city, the infrastructure of roads, the infrastructure of how that's managed, who gets that funding, how that city gets that funding, and who determines all that kind of shit, in terms of a policy and standpoint, that's a state policy. It's called the Department of Transportation. It's not called the City of the Transportation. So the infrastructure is what I'm talking about, not the local. We're talking about two different things is what I'm saying. You're correct in terms of the mayor had to pony up, put his big boy pants on, go over to the governor and be like, yo, we need help. Yes, he had to do all that. Yes, he had shared blame. Yes, we need to determine where that money's going because you got the highest property taxes. All that kind of stuff. I get that. I understand that. I'm not disagreeing with you on that part. What I'm saying to you is that if they could keep having this issue that they've been having over and over and over again, At some point, it's incumbent upon who owns that infrastructure, which is the state, to come in and fix it. Or they say, hey, we're just going to let that shit go and then try to rebuild it, right?
The question I would have is, right now, when they reporting out on what's being fixed, they're not talking about fixing levees right now. They're talking about fixing pumps. They had to bring in a rented pump from the federal government, and the pump that they were utilizing.
Because
they
had to figure out how to divert the water. That's exactly my point.
No. The primary pumps for the water treatment facility. The two primary pumps for the water treatment facility, not the levees. These are something that is
not the levee. They have
water
a dam,
treatment.
They have a dam, right? So when it floods, they have to divert the water somewhere. The pumps and the filtration system failed, right? Because I don't know whether they overworked it. I don't know, right? Who knows? But the point is that they've been failing for years, and it always occurs when it floods. But the decision on who's to fix it, how to fix it, the infrastructure around, why the city's flooding, where the water's being diverted, right? That's coming from people way higher than the mayor. That's all my point is. Because he don't have the resources. They don't have the resources to do that. We don't have the resources to do that. That's a whole state government issue on how that gets handled. The mayor has to influence, obviously, yes, but the whole infrastructure piece, how that plans and all that kind of stuff, who determines all that kind of stuff, the state gives the city money for that kind of stuff. And as long as they give the city money, they have a say in how that shit goes. That's all my point.
So I'm reading right here, right? This is the governor talking, right? He says the pressure drop happened. Now, when they talk about the pressure drop, meaning when you pull your water out of your faucet, you're not getting no pressure from the water, right? And it says the pressure drop happened after O.B. Curtis Water Plant had to offload a bad batch of partially treated water from the system because it did not meet state and federal treatment standards, the mayor explained. So basically,
the state and federal standards. That's who owns that. That's not the city.
Listen, hold
all
on. Let me finish.
Is that the state has a role to play. I don't want to keep going back and forth because I know we got a lot of time. So that's all I'm saying. The city don't make those standards. You just read it. The state and city standards. When they come in on the infrastructure piece. Right? So the infrastructure, they came in and said they don't meet the standard. The city didn't say they don't meet their standards, so I'm going to make that determination. The state and federal government, because they provide money to the city for that reason, so they're going to tell them what is good and what's not good.
So when you have your water, right, the state and federal government come up with guidelines of certain things that are meet the minimum requirement for you to be able to drink it. Just because the state and federal government come up with guidelines don't mean that they are responsible for making sure you have the infrastructure to meet those guidelines. Now, again, I don't want to go back and forth either because I think that we all on the same page. Jackson needs to have clean water. What I am saying is Jackson City is responsible for their water plant, and they have admitted themselves, their own city officials have admitted that they have kicked the can down the road, that they've had to make fixes, and they have just partially fixed it, but they haven't really fixed it, right? And we've all been there. We've all had a car where, you know what, we need to change the whole motor out. But you don't change the whole motor out. You just fix the pump because it's drivable. They've admitted to that. Now, with that being said, where I would maybe point the blame to the state is, clearly if you knew what was going on in your capital of your state, right, the city that's the capital of your state, clearly if you're doing your job, you have some oversight. And I mean, shit, the mayor probably, I mean, he probably didn't have to worry about it, but not the mayor, but the governor. He lives in probably, when he's in the Capitol, he probably had to abide by those same boil water things. So he knew it was an issue. Now, me personally, if I'm in the leadership position and I'm responsible for a whole state and I have a big city saying we haven't got drinking water, that's number one on the list. And so that's where I do fault the state, because clearly you knew you had a city in need. but it's an all hands on deck thing. And like I said, I'm right with there with you. I wanted to be mad at the governor, and I'm not saying I'm not mad at the governor. But when I did more research, I'm saying, okay, this is a whole community issue. You got fought at the city level, and you got fought at the state level. And at the end of the day, all y'all asked me to get that shit together because this is a bare minimum. You know, this is a bare minimum.
I hear you. And then I'm going to say this the last thing, right? When you think about how, right, and this is the other thing that somebody read when I was talking to him that was on the ground. When you think about how the city's population, 83% black, right, the poverty level in that city, right, is around the 20-25% or whatever, right? That's so when you think about it that way, right, then you have a lower tax base, right, and then you also have a Republican governor who got infrastructure money that's not diverting it to a city that's 83% black. You can't then say that it's a city issue too, right? So I'm just saying you got to point it all out. It's my point, right? Yes, everybody got to send the blame? They do. But when you think about it is that when they desegregated schools, all the white population moved out of Jackson. That's where the black population came in. That's the history. And that decreased the state, the tax base, right, in Jackson. So, and it's been going on for years. So, yeah, do they have high property taxes? Yes. But they also have poor people. So guess who's getting their poor people? That's state funds. So the state is paying the state. Right? If I'm on Section 8,
yes,
and I'm getting state funds. If I'm getting public assistance, I'm using state funds. I don't have my own. So therefore, the state is paying the state. So you can't fund a city and try to fix all these issues on the backs of people who are using your state funds.
What you're hitting on is so deep, and it's so deep because, like, I've talked about this a lot, and it's you know, what you're saying is completely correct. When I moved to where I live at now, the biggest thing I wanted for my family was good schools, the best schools for my kids, but with the most diversity. And to get that, I had to move to a part of the county which is considered, I guess you could say, upper middle class, right? And it's hard because you're right. Until we reinvest in our own, the haves are going to have and the have-nots are not going to have. And it's a tough situation, you know. It's a tough situation.
All right, let me see if I can bring a couple other voices in here. Oh, my bad. I thought you were talking about people. Y'all been rapping some bars. Let me bring a couple other people in. I got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the offering tonight. We're talking about Mississippi flooding. You got anything on it?
No, man. I came in kind of in the middle. I've been listening for a minute. I don't think I got much to add, man. It was kind of touching on some bigger issues there. So, I'm good on that, man. I will say this week, I mentioned once before, and I think you guys kind of touched on it, but I think this could happen in other places. Like, we saw similar situations, not exactly this, but you know how a whole city water system could fail in Flint. I really want to point this out, and I think you guys touched on it. Like, some of these cities, like Jackson, and I know we mentioned it before, when Deion Sanders' radio got stolen, his car got broken into, his truck, I say, yo, like, people don't realize, because Deion there is getting a lot of spotlight. Like, this is still Jackson, Mississippi. This is a city that's well beneath the poverty line, and this ain't like the typical city you might think of. Now, people who grew up in areas where some of us grew up, like, if you grew up in Camden, then you might, like, okay, think Camden, and then think slightly more rural, more country, and a little bit poorer.
Yeah.
And so cities is operating on a very minimum. There is no excess for things when you run into problems. So when you talk about kicking things down the road, you kind of have to. It's really just a Band-Aid and bubble gum because you don't have any money. So And I know you guys were talking about where that comes from, who's responsible for that. I just would say, like, yeah, there's not resources there. And that's in a lot of places in the South, because they just weren't built up that way. It's growing now, and with the popularity of Jackson State University, it's going to get bigger, more people come here, it's going to build up a lot of infrastructure. But, yeah, it's a rural country city with not a lot of money and a lot of people.
Hey, watch y'all background noises if you're not talking. We got my man 8-Point in the building. Hey, that means put yourselves on mute.
Hey,
watch the background. There you go. I got my man 8-Point in the building. 8-Point, welcome to the offer, my brother. How you doing tonight?
What's going on, man? Coming in from Charlotte tonight.
Oh, yeah, you flying in or are you driving?
No, I drove. But, you know, okay. just a quick point here. So, there are some similarities, and this kind of hits home for me on both levels, both state of Mississippi and Louisiana. In New Orleans, it was the United States Corps of Engineers' responsibility for those levees. That wasn't the state, wasn't the city. That was the United States Corps of Army Corps of Engineers. That's one correction right there. I think that, correct, Jackson, Mississippi is a very poverty-stricken city. I know this. I went to school in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, which wasn't that far. One of our rival schools, Mississippi, well, we call it Miss State, Mississippi State, is in Jackson. And it's an armpit. It really is. It's a very poor city. You need the government to step in and fix the infrastructure, because yes, it has happened time and time again. And this is nature, you know. I mean, nature is going to win almost every time. They need the Army Corps of Engineers to come in there, a much bigger resource to figure out how they can combat or try to combat Mother Nature, period.
I mean, do we want the Army Corps people coming in? Ain't that the ones that messed up your city with the levees? Should we find somebody else?
No, they didn't mess up the city with the levees. You know, like I said, Mother Nature will always win. You can try your damnedest to combat it, but Mother Nature will always win. Look at where we live right now. The reason why we flood all the time is because we put land where land wasn't, and Mother Nature wants it back. So it will take it back eventually. Outer Banks will not be the Outer Banks in the next 100 years. So you need the money, you need the resources. Jackson, the city and the state does not have the funds to you know, have those resources. You need the government to step up, period.
See, and this is why you need sports. Because if Deion Sanders can turn Jackson football into a high-profile program where kids are going to want to go, people are going to come to that city and spend money, and you know what you ain't going to have? Water problems anymore. You're still going to have flooding, I guess. I didn't realize Jackson was surrounded by water. And Blur paints a terrible picture if you're telling me that it's like Camden but rural and poor. That sounds awful. I'm surprised a college thrives there at all. But I've never been to Jackson, Mississippi. I drove part of Mississippi. Yeah,
You drove through Jackson to get to Grambling?
Did I?
You'd have to go through Jackson. I mean, Jackson's not surrounded by water. There's a river that runs by it. It's not like it's surrounded by water. It makes it seem like it's an island.
It's not an island. That's not what I meant.
You've got the river and.
Hold on, stop. Did y'all honestly think that I thought a city in Mississippi was an island?
No.
No.
Is that what y'all think of me?
No.
No,
I'm going to
comment on that.
I mean, everybody playing off my word. Everybody playing off my word, so I don't know.
No. I'm just saying, and I know you didn't think it was an island, but it's not. Yeah, just a correction. It's not surrounded by water.
But so I mean, that's why it's the reason why I always, you know, tout sports programs. I know everybody says. Education. Me and my wife fight about that. DJ Cesar, welcome to the program. I know you've been saying for the last hour. Anything you want to say about the Mississippi flood? I know you don't care. Not that she doesn't care in an ignorant way, but she's just.
I mean, everyone's kind of. It is another tragic water-based.
It's stuff you take for granted. Like, I can't imagine living in a city where I'm in, right? My city's pretty diverse, right? It's got some bad part. I wouldn't even call it bad, but it's got some poor parts. It's got some affluent parts, but it's a small city. I can't imagine waking up after a hurricane and they say, yo, you can't drink water for a month. And it's not the fact that the hurricane came and destroyed a water filtration system. It's just the fact that the filtration system has been bad, like MX said, for the last 10 years, and this just took it over the top. Because my first thought would be like, yo, why haven't y'all fixed this in 10 years?
But, another thing, they just had ice storms just last year, and the same shit happened. Like, they just last year, you know? Like, it's just always happening. We just don't pay damn attention because it's Mississippi.
Man, look, I took a lot of history class. I knew I wasn't going to Mississippi. I didn't realize I had to drive through when I went to my brother's wedding. But shout out to Grandma, man. I had a good time there, man. I had a couple conversations with some ladies that I had no idea what we talked about. But I think they were lovely ladies. All right, so anybody got anything left on the Jackson flooding? Anything less? I'm not sure if you want to plug where we can send some money in to donate, or if you want to, anybody else got anything left to say, feel free to jump in before we go to the next topic. All right, nobody got nothing? All right, cool. MX, send me that link of the flooding.
I posted on social media, but I see English.
Oh yeah, I don't be on there like that, yo. All right, cool. So just to stay in Jackson, Mississippi, I was having a discussion with my cousin SJ, and I want to get y'all thoughts on it. So me and him were going back and forth on the internet because Deion Sanders said he wanted his kids to sit in front of the class. They wasn't allowed to wear slides. They couldn't wear shirts showing their armpits, and they couldn't wear A shirts. I'm trying to stop saying wife beater. Because he wanted them to portray a certain image, and if they needed help from the teacher later on, he wanted that teacher to have a good image of them. My cousin SJ, I'm not going to speak for him. I let him say his side, but I was totally appalled. And this man ran around with a Jerry Curl, and I understand he's Deion Sanders. Right, a Jerry Curl. You got to sit up and talk if you're going to talk. But this man ran around with a Jerry Curl.
Okay,
a Jerry Curl don't portray a certain image. We all had a certain image to do from coming to America.
Let me jump in there.
That's the SJ, everybody. Go ahead, cuz. Say your piece.
I'm sorry.
Man. Say SJ. Your terrible piece.
All right. This is not. It's not just about an image. It's about preparing these young men for life lessons. People are portrayed, and like you said, people are judged. People are looked at.
And what he's trying to do is prepare these young men for success. It's not about the job you have now. It's about what you want to be in the future. One of the best books I ever read was by Bill Walsh, who is the champion coach of the San Francisco 49ers. He wrote a book called The Score Will Take Care of Itself. And what the book basically told was how he didn't focus on the X's and O's of football for the first few years. He focused on the culture and the attitude. His players had to have their shirts tucked in during practice. They had to have their practice books at all times. The secretary had to answer the phone, "Thank you for calling the future home of the NFL champion 49ers. How can I help you?" So it's not just about an image. It's about preparing these young men for success and giving them the tools and, yes, the discipline that they need to move forward. If you haven't read that book, it's a great, great book. I use it in the office all the time. So it's not necessarily about the image, but it's about the way that they are portrayed in the classroom and helping prepare them for the next level, whether it's the NFL, corporate America, or just being a productive young black man. So I applaud them for it.
Let me jump in here. SJ, I'm going to have to agree with you almost 100%. Gunn, I think this is a big discrepancy of you going to a PWI versus HBCU. This is nothing new. And I could say being one of the last people coached by the late, great Eddie Robinson. I didn't play for him, but I used to have to run past his house almost every day, and coaches are going to coach. He wasn't a track coach, but, you know, you see somebody working out, he knew who I was, and he knew I was the captain of the track team, and he would always come out and try to give me pointers and stop, and we would rap. I really wish I'd have got more pictures with him or of him, but, yeah. Eddie Robb, and I think this might be where Bill Walsh got it from, especially at HBCUs. Even if you are planning to send your kids to the league, professionally, whatever league it is, Eddie Robb and I think everybody who comes under his umbrella, which is most of the HBCU people, are going to talk about we're raising people to be pillars of the black community. We're not just sending people here to go to the NFL or to the NBA or to the Major League Baseball. You come here, we're sending you to be a leader and a pillar of the black community. So you're always going to be groomed and presented to be that. Eddie Robb specifically in his documentaries and in his books talked about how he would tell people, hey, go back to your old neighborhood. Look at the people in front of the liquor store. Look at the people on the corner all the time and how they dress. You are never going to look like that because those people are always going to be there and you're going to be more than that. You didn't come to Grambling or wherever school to do that. So, yeah, this is nothing new, and it's for that very same reason. You are more than just that. You're more than just an athlete. Yeah, other people can do that. You can't because you're better than that, and you're going to be better than that, and you're going to be a leader for the school, for the team, for your community whenever you get out of here. And
hey,
if you don't want to do that, you don't have to be on our team.
To piggyback off that really, really quick, when I went to college and I was playing, my coach told me, he said, there are two reasons why you are in the position you're in. One is because you worked hard and you prepared. The second reason is that those around you didn't. Those that didn't, you're not going to find them here. So you were always prepared to prepare yourself to be the best because as you went up the ladder or as you went from college to whatever, you were competing against the best of the best. So I think that's kind of what Dion is trying to say, like, hey, you know what, you have to prepare yourself. Like, those guys back in the neighborhood who aren't doing anything, you're not going to find them here. So you have to prepare yourself to be better. So I definitely support them.
This is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to argue with y'all, but I'm going to let DJ C. Siren go. I think y'all, look, I love y'all too much, and I think too highly of y'all, but I'm going to tell y'all why this is just dumb. And shout out to Eddie and Bill Walsh. Bill Walsh should be credited for having a great GM and not having a risk-free agency and being able to draft. Steve Young. It ain't got nothing to do with her goddamn answering the phone. Because you had Steve Young, Jerry Rice, Roger Craig, Rathman. Nobody care about that secretary.
Well,
you're missing a whole lot
of people in that Wall Street.
Yeah, it was like,
He
created the West Coast office, man.
Let me let DJ she's hired get it. Because I'm ready to tee off on y'all. Go ahead.
Don't discredit the man who created the West Coast office. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I guess I want to hear your side because I'm trying to say your argument is it doesn't matter what you wear. Is that what I'm assuming that's what your side is.
I mean, it's, yes.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
All I have to say is I just
Black people keep putting value somewhere different.
I just went to a fast food restaurant and the guy, he turned around and he was sagging and I got to see his underwear and I was like, I don't want food from this place. That's all.
But see, they're talking about the job that you want. He's already got the job that he's got.
No, even that job, you shouldn't.
But that's a different discussion. If you're working someplace.
But that's the perception.
Let me finish. We all going to get a turn. If you're at a job, you need to address accordingly. If you're in college, you're not dressing for a job unless it's a particular business course. That's my difference. I'm going to go on to my opinion, but I don't let everybody jump in here. But that's the difference in what I see in your situation, DJ Cesar. He's at a job. He should be dressed accordingly. A-Point, you got anything on this? You feel like people should be dressing up in college?
I mean, you know, you dress for the job you want, right? Everybody's heard the expression, and it's true. Also, the professors know who these kids are, right? They know this is Deion Sanders' kids. They already have kind of a target on their back, like they were born with a silver spoon, right?
They're in Jackson.
Deion Sanders.
They ain't no spoons.
Deion Sanders wants to, you know, ground these kids. And be like, hey, you know, no, you dress for the job you want. Yeah, you have money. You know, he's got enough money. But you go to college and you dress for the job you want. You make your own, you know, course in life. I think just like anything, man. If you're not feeling good, you take a shower and you get dressed up. It makes you feel better. All right? You dress for the job you want, period.
I got any drugs.
Yeah,
you take drugs too, but.
But let me just say this: no one, Deion didn't say you had to get dressed up. He didn't say you had to wear a suit and tie to class. What he basically said was, make yourself look presentable, and conduct yourself accordingly. He said no slides. He said no slides.
There's nothing wrong with slides.
He said no shirts with the underarm showing, no sleeveless shirts. So in other words, he wants you to dress presentably and to sit in the front of the class and represent the organization, which is the Jackson State football team that you have. He's trying to
escalate
the status
of
that
program.
Does Jackson
State football team have slides? His
kids are representing the Sanders family.
He's not saying don't wear them at all. He's just saying don't wear them in class, which I support. That's not the place for it. Let's have this conversation. Would you wear them to the
class?
Let me ask a question. Would you wear slides to the club? Why'd you wear them to class?
Would I?
I'm sorry. Let me take that back. Would anyone else wear slides to the club?
I'm just saying. Nowadays, kids, look. Look, M actually got a kid in college. They wear slides all over the place.
Yeah. Hold on. So, a couple things, right? It's not that the extension of Deion was a bad one, because I get what he's trying to say. I think the problem is that, and I need, I guess, a little bit more context than probably, he probably gave a big-ass speech about sort of what 8-Point was going for. Although, I kind of have to disagree, because if you ever looked at Bill Gates and you talk about just for the job you want, that motherfucker has never worn a suit in a day in his life, ever. Right? IT.
Well, he does have the worst fashion sense.
Yeah, we don't wear suits in IT. In IT, you fucking barely, you don't even get out the damn bed. Like, you know what I mean? Because half of the time, all of us, we're remote. So,
hey,
so
press
so
mute if you ain't talking.
Yeah, I don't know who's stumbling paper chips and shit. But so I get what you're saying, and I think I understand sort of what Deion's saying. But I think that he also has to put it in some kind, it has to be some kind of context. Because if we're doing 6 a.m. and you want me to go to an 8 o'clock class and you want me to change, I ain't changing, bro. There's no way I'm changing from a 6 a.m. workout and then going to an 8 o'clock and you want me to throw on. I'm going with some shorts, a cutoff, and some slides. There's absolutely no way. So, again, if
all
there is
just
season, I can probably see that. But I just can't see the connection behind that. Because also, I think that, I forgot who said it, but somebody said that the teachers know the football players. Because even at a small school like Towson, they knew who the hell we were. They knew who the athletes were. And whether we stood in the back of the class or front of the class, like we had a whole academic advisor at a small school like Towson that knew exactly where we were in all of our classes, and we got punished if we didn't do good. So Jackson State with Deion and that thing, like the teachers know. So whether you're at the front of the class or not, I don't think that really matters. I think he was at a stretch, right? And maybe if he's just saying, hey, let's show some leadership maybe. But I feel like there's more context around why he wants his football players to be in the front of the classroom as opposed to in the back of it or players in the middle of it, right? Like what difference does it make, right? You're all getting the education. And then at the same time, it's like, yo, if I'm wearing five because I'm comfortable, maybe because my goddamn feet hurt. We got shin splints going on. You got soreness going on in season. Like, why you got me in some hard bottom shoes, man? Like, let me get my damn foot. Let me get my foot rub, my foot care on. You know what I'm saying?
Nobody said hard bottom shoes. And I can tell you, Jackson State ain't got no academic advisor. Not like that for the football team. I can tell you, not at all.
They got one.
They have to have one. Yo, come on. Yo.
Academic advisor. I can guarantee you.
But maybe not.
But
what you mean?
So, Blur,
if he didn't say, because I didn't hear it, right? So if he didn't say hard bottom tennis shoes, then what is it then? Because he said no damn
no slides.
Crocs. No slides, no Crocs. So does Crocs count? Because Crocs are slides, technically.
Who?
Crocs.
He ain't saying, but I'm assuming Crocs is cool because they got a strap on them. I mean, I was on that's like sandals.
I don't know
the whole Crocs lineup, but if it ain't slides.
If Crocs are cool, then I'll retract my statement because doctors wear Crocs. Talking about chest size and protection.
No.
You doing surgery in Crocs out here. Yo. You're not doing surgery in dress shoes.
I can tell you, my entire 4 years at Grambling, I was not allowed to wear cutoffs and stuff like that. Coach Bertram Lavelle, Hall of Fame coach, Olympic athlete. And we had 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. practice, and I had 8 a.m. class. We couldn't go to class with cutoffs on. I can't remember the exact order. I probably should remember it. You're representing your parents and then Grambling. Whenever you're outside of your house, you're representing your parents and then Grambling and then anything else after that, and you got to conduct yourself accordingly.
Well, y'all was bougie at Grambling.
Let me.
Y'all was bougie at Grambling, yo. And then you fired Doug Williams, so you don't even count for real.
Nobody fired Doug. He left on his own accord to go make more money in D.C. with Washington. Nobody fired him. We hired him twice.
He fired Doug Williams, yo. I'm sticking my story, yo. Y'all fired him, yo. Y'all don't count.
But let me ask something. It's a serious question that kind of relates to this. And I appreciate the jovial nature. I didn't go to Grambling or to Towson. But let me just ask a question that kind of stems off this. Why do we balk when it comes to the bare minimum? Like when we
try to raise the bar to bare minimum expectation, why do we always balk at that or come up with excuses? Why do we always expect
Can I answer
less
that?
Of ourselves? Why is that?
Can I answer that? Can I answer that? And this is why I think it's the dumbest shit ever. Because, and we're in mixed company tonight, shout out to my man, A Point, but just deal with us for a second. When you, I'm trying to figure out how to say this as nice as possible. Black people have to stop equating education with dressing up in appearances. Because all that tells me is that you still are trying to appease your looks to a white man who owns a job to give you a job. If you want to be educated, if you want to be successful, it doesn't matter what you wear. Sit down and read a fucking book. Sit down, think about what you want to do in life. We have all the resources in the world of the internet. Yes, there are still some things that we are behind on. I can fully admit to that. But there are so many people who figured out a way simply by educating themselves and had nothing to do with what they wore. Wait,
I have no issue with
how you're going to – hold on, let me finish. When it's time for you to figure out how to make that move, if you need to get a job from someone else, you should dress accordingly. You should present yourself in a respectful way so that they can hire you that job and sell yourself so you can get that job. But educating yourself, sitting in a library, sitting in a class – listening to TED Talks, listening to professors speak to you, paying attention, gaining knowledge has absolutely nothing to do with what you wear. It doesn't represent anything.
I can agree with you on that. Let me just say, I can agree with you on that educational point. But
and that's
at
all
the
they're
same
in
time, we were
playing sports
but,
and education.
But
it has nothing
to
do with
the same time. We will go dress up to go to the club and get a nice pair of Air Jordans and jeans or whatever.
Nah.
Let me finish.
Keep
but,
the goalposts.
But at the same time, we won't get a pair of dress shoes. So that's what
nope.
I'm talking about. Like, it's like there
nah.
are bare minimum.
Keep the goalposts.
We can't do the bare minimum.
We're not talking
come on, brother.
Yeah, we're not talking about what people wear to the club. We're talking about a coach telling you that you have to dress up so that the professors can look at you in a certain light. We need now. This is a black school, so I'm assuming they're all black professors.
No, he didn't say dress
we need
up.
To get out
he didn't
the
say dress
idea.
Up. He just said no sleeveless shirts. He said no sleeveless
that
has, shirts.
That still has
fine.
Nothing to do with education.
And
has
shower
with
before class. That's all he said.
Well, now shower.
Put your best foot forward.
Hygiene. No, that's not putting
put,
best. So, that's
so
just basic.
So would y'all? So would y'all? Let me ask you a question. Would you have the same opinion if he said no cruddies, if you gotta make sure that your hair is cornrowed a lot because I don't want y'all to wear your hair all wild and shit because of the way you look. Would you have a different opinion if he made that statement?
Me? Absolutely not. I would say, look, whether you have cornrows, your afro is tight, whatever it is, whatever. I am bald headed, but I'm just saying. He would tell me, make sure your head is shaven. He would say, make sure your head is shaven. It's about putting your best foot forward. You know what I mean? You don't have to. There's a time and place for everything. When you're in class, look, be presentable and go into class. That's all I'm saying. If it's cornrows or, you know, whatever, then that's fine.
Go to class.
See, I think the problem
that's
is, and Gunn, I think the problem is you're equating what he said is like you're going to learn better. That's not what he said. It's essentially, it is representing and being presentable. And he didn't say, hey, you can't wear slides or you're not going to learn. That's not what he said. You can't wear slides because it's not presentable. You don't represent our football team like that. The same way you wouldn't go to your interview wearing slides and a cut-off shirt. No, that's not how you're going west when you get the job. You're not going to dress like that when you get the job. So why would you dress like that for the interview? You're not going to present yourself like that.
This ain't
that's not how you're going to present yourself.
It's not an interview, though. It's a class, bro. It's a training class, man.
But the same way you present yourself, you're going to the interview to present yourself in a certain light. You're going to present yourself in a certain light in class. The only thing that's said about learning, the only thing he said about learning was sitting in the front of the class, which everybody has always said since the beginning of time about studies, front of the class performs better. That's the only thing he may mention about that, about sitting in the front of the class. And for whatever reason, I don't know the studies, but that's what the studies say.
Can I step in real quick?
Did you take health in college, Blur? Health class, any gen ed that was like dance, gymnastics, theater, PE, something in college? I know you had to take one of them motherfuckers, right?
I had some class like that.
Yeah, so what does me wearing a cutoff got to do with them type class? I'm not going to be a theater major. I'm not going to be a health major. I had to take health symptoms and shit. What the fuck does that got to do with me? Like, I can dress how the hell I want to dress. Like, it doesn't make no difference, bro.
No. You know what?
Come on.
If you look at, for example, if you look at for years when Mike Krzyzewski was coaching Duke, right, his players had to have their hair cut. They had to be neat, no facial hair, blah, 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 when they were playing for his team. Because they represented the Duke program. Now,
that's the greatest program.
Why is that? Let me finish.
That's the greatest program.
And everybody applauded him for it. Everybody applauded him for it because, okay, you are grooming these young men for what's going on. Everybody applauded him for it. Why can't we hold ourselves to that same high standard? That's all I'm asking.
It's the greatest program ever. You know how many Duke haters there are because of that? There are tons of Duke haters because of that.
It's not because of that. Y'all have to stop acting like if kids dress up, they play better.
It's not about your performance. It's about what you're projecting.
I'm not projecting anything. If I get an A in the class and I come to class with a cutoff T-shirt and flip-flops, you're a racist if you're projecting me from being anything else but a good student. I don't know if you could be racist at a black school with a black teacher and a black kid. But you're something.
If it's the white professor, it's valid. If it's the white professor, it's valid.
A-Point, do you want to jump in here?
No, that was pretty funny. I don't think this is a black-white thing at all.
It's not.
Look, when I was in school, I presented myself. Here's the deal. Don't misconceive, you know, education with you know, just because I don't dress, you know, appropriately, I'm not, you know, a better student or a worse student than you. It's all about perception. Look, when I went through architecture school, I wasn't the best student. There were people that were much better than me. But I went to class, and I was always dressed correctly. I was always dressed to impress. I always, like, presented myself in a way that, like, hey, I'm here to learn. And that got me an internship over some people that I know that were better than me. I know they were. But I presented myself in a way. What's that?
Hold on.
I just want to delve deep in that. So you dressed correctly, and so the teacher – gave you the internship over other people who didn't? Is that what you're saying? I'm trying to frame it.
Correctly might be the bad word. I did not show up in pajamas.
I didn't show up in pajamas.
Listen to me. I'm speaking. I didn't show up in pajamas like some of my other, you know, people in my class did. I know they were better than me as far as architecture, but they showed up in, like, flip-flops, pajamas, like, with this piss-ant attitude, and I showed up, you know, button-down shirt, wanting to work, showing myself, presenting myself in a better way, and I got an intern over them because of how they presented themselves. Every day is an interview. Every day is an interview. No matter if you're a freshman,
no, it's not.
A senior, Going, looking for a job, every day is an interview. Trust me.
Right.
Run your own business, and you will understand that every day is an interview.
I'm just trying to understand. Did your teacher, because of that, do you feel like, did your teacher recommend you for the internship, or did you have to interview for the internship?
Yeah,
my professor is the one who gave me the internship.
Okay,
he
so
was
then
my.
Then your point's valid. Okay, I got you. Got you.
Was you hitting it?
Correct. Yeah, because again, if your professor didn't give it to you, and you interviewed it, maybe you're just a great interviewer. Right?
My professor was my mentor.
Oh yeah, so then your point is valid then. Congratulations, buddy.
Well then yeah, I mean you were probably just cool.
He dressed for the job you want.
No,
yeah, exactly. He dressed
true.
Like he wanted it. That's what happened. He showed himself
no.
and said, "Hey, you know what? I really want this."
He was a teacher's yeah. pet. He sucked up.
Correct.
Wow. I had a
correct. You are 100% correct.
One of my advanced classes, my senior year or my last couple semesters, I had this exact argument with the professor, and he told the story because I was like, "Yo, I'm going to be a lawyer, man. I don't care what I look like. If you need to get off from double homicide, I'm hiring Johnny Cochran. I don't care if he come in basketball shorts and a tank top. That's what I'm hiring because he's going to get the job done." And he was like, "Oh yeah, good old Ryman Johnny." And like, dude was like a professor, but like he was a tenure at Grambling, but he was like, I guess a speaker. So he would travel the country and around the world giving lectures and stuff like that. And he told Al, hey, he actually was late for one of his own lectures because the person picking him up from the airport didn't recognize him because he had on jeans and a T-shirt. And he was like, yo, he was like, I'm traveling. I wasn't expecting to be dressed like I was about to do my lecture. And he was like, oh, no, I just wasn't expecting this. This wasn't expected from my thought when they sent me to pick up this world-renowned professional expert or whatever. I wasn't expecting someone in jeans and a T-shirt. Now, again, this was probably
Dumber.
When he was doing this. This was probably the 90s, maybe even the 80s when this happened.
Why didn't he have Why didn't he have a sign with his name on him?
Good question.
Well,
like,
it's the dumbest shit ever.
Bill Gates
know.
Has never worn a suit a day in his life. He dropped out of college. He's never worn a fucking suit. And he's a billionaire. The world's just like, why are y'all making it seem like a suit means any goddamn thing? It does not mean anything.
Of what we're talking about than Bill Gates. Bill Gates is the exception to this.
What you mean?
Let's just
so
be
he's
honest.
Just an anomaly, huh?
JV so
crap. I guarantee you, Mike.
Is there another Bill Gates out there?
I guarantee Zuckerberg don't walk every day wearing with a suit either. The motherfuckers are suit and tie.
You've named two people. You've named two people. But there are a plethora of others.
I am telling you, if you go to Silicon Valley, if you go to Silicon Valley in the IT world, there's no one in the motherfucking suit. Unless we in the
How many of them are showing off their armpit hair because they got on cut-off T-shirts?
Yeah,
I'm telling you in IT, we do not care. Yo, we don't have to wear fucking suits, bro. Motherfuckers take naps at work.
And nobody's telling the athletes at Jackson State to wear suits. Don't wear cut-off T-shirts. Don't walk around sagging your pants. Don't walk around barefoot with slides, showing your toes, dragging your toes across the ground.
But why?
Can I ask a question to the IT guy? Can I ask a question?
Yeah, good.
When you got your job in IT, when you went for the interview, what did you wear?
Let me finish.
What did you wear to the interview?
Your question. Are you going to let me ask your question? Or are you going to keep on asking questions? Which one?
No,
y'all got to stop beefing. Keep
here's
talking.
The thing.
We only got 20 minutes.
Funny story, right? I wore a whole suit and tie. And guess what the manager said? The manager said I was over fucking dressed. And he told me that's the last time you're going to wear a suit here. And I got the job, and guess what I did? I was in shorts. I was in jeans and a motherfucking polo every fucking time I worked there. Every day I worked there. He told me I was overdressed.
You got the job.
And they made a whole joke. And every fucking person at that table was looking at me like I was crazy. Because guess what? I'm sitting across from people in shirts and fucking polos. No one in the suit.
Why you ain't come there showing the armpit hair with your cutoff?
My point is that the armpit hair, you're talking about college. Not a business environment, though, right? So we're talking about college. We're talking about a college class. They'll have shit to do with whether I win a suit or nothing. Or suit, arm, hair, hair, white beard, or whatever. You could be the smartest
guy. If you would have showed up to that
world.
Job with a T-shirt, you would not have that job.
But this is colleges and an interview.
The director, which, yeah, it's not an interview. It's a class, man. What are you talking about? Like, I don't get it. Like, I'm not making a connection. It's a class in college.
You're there to be educated,
you're going to
not interviewed.
You're going to English 101, and you in a motherfucking shorts and a T-shirt with some slides on, and you get an A. You're going to tell me that if I had a suit on, that I would all of a sudden got an A.
See, y'all keep equating the dress to the grade. They're not. No one has said that you're not going to get good grades if you don't dress like this. They're saying you're not presentable. Always be presentable. Always.
Why aren't you not presentable, though? Because like,
there's nothing presentable while cut off, showing your armpit hair and slides and basketball shorts hanging down to your nuts. That's not presentable. That's not how you
–
no, I don't think nobody is going to say – nobody at Jackson State Administration wants that to be the picture of a Jackson State University athlete. That's not how they want to be represented.
Oh, so you'd rather have them in a helmet, shoulder pads with a cutoff shirt underneath with gold teeth and
no,
a mouthpiece and hit each other
we want them wearing
and going
pants.
That's the dumbest
pants.
Thing I've ever heard. Why does –
who said a helmet?
You realize –
tell somebody wear a helmet to class is the dumbest
thing. Let me finish. I'll let you get in. Let me finish. Why does everybody going to class have to be ready to take a picture to be on the Jackson State University magazine? No. These kids, especially Deion Sanders' kids – are going to school to be student athletes. They go to school, and they do athletes. Sometimes that schedule runs together. They may not have a place on campus that they can run to and change real quick. They might leave their apartment at 5 o'clock in the morning for practice, change in the room, go to class, grab something to eat, come back for meetings, or go to the weight room, go grab.
You
lunch,
know what you do?
Go to more class,
you throw
come
on
back
a T-shirt.
And all that, no, stop. Sometimes
they don't even have
they
clean
just
water
be
at Jackson State. Like, they don't even have clean water at Jackson State, and you want
yeah,
them to
yo,
wear some fancy, like some proper
like
clothes. Come on, yo, like, come on. Like,
you don't even got the sign.
They got T-shirts, though. I guarantee you they got all the T-shirts and all the are they Under Armour? Nike? I guarantee you that. My coach used to tell me that all the time. Hey, you don't got shoes? Your feet hurt? Hey, come to the office. We got more Adidas for you. I'm like, coach, you know I wear Nikes. Well, you gonna have Nikes on then, or you gonna wear these Adidas? You ain't gonna wear slides. That was not
that's
an option. If your feet hurt,
that's
come on, we got some more Nikes for you right here. We got some more Unarmors. We'll find the right ones that fit you. We'll find the ones that don't make you feel. Matter of fact, we put
it
these easy. Everybody talk about how soft the easy are, like walking on clouds. Here, wear these.
It does.
You need a Jackson State University T-shirt because you're not comfortable with your armpit because you don't got nothing, no T-shirts nowhere. No one's saying put on the helmet. No one's saying put on a suit. You're not wearing the cutoff shirt. Here goes another T-shirt for you. We got mad T-shirts
it's
here. Take this T-shirt.
It's 150 degrees. Why can't I have a cutoff shirt? All I'm going to do is go sit in the class and listen. Why are you trying to monopolize
of the Jackson State University football team.
Then let me get good grades and play good football. I'm not there to be your fashion model. I'm there to play football and get an education. No. I'm not there to be your fashion model. Stop
you're there
head.
To represent the team. You're going
no,
to represent.
Not.
If you're on
I'm
the team, you're going to represent
football.
The team. You're going to get your education, you're going
to play
football, and you're going to represent this team.
I would, if we're going to away games, I can agree with you, Blur. But just every day I'm just on campus, yo, let me wear what the fuck I'm comfortable in. Like, damn. Like,
there
I
was
see
never
dressing up on away games.
Never. Deion Sanders did not go into the recruiting room and say, hey, if you come to Jackson State University, you know you're going to have to follow my dress code.
No,
I
mean,
you know
what? I wouldn't
be surprised if he did.
What Deion Sanders
said was, what he said was to those parents, I am going to groom your child to be a responsible young man. I'm going to groom these young black boys into young black men. And that's a part.
If they're not responsible by the time they go to college, then they won't be. If they're not responsible by the time they go to college, then they won't be. Deion Sanders is a good
thing.
No,
that's BS. That's BS.
I got to disagree with that. Yeah.
Good education.
I got to disagree with that.
Deion Sanders' only responsibility is to give these kids a chance at a good education and an opportunity to play football. He ain't there to be your daddy. Don't be a daddy to my kid. My kid got a daddy.
But some
tell
of
my
these kids
got
don't.
I bet y'all think women shouldn't wear short skirts, too. Y'all were the people that Queen Latifah was talking about in UNITY. I'm going to grab
hey, Blur,
grab it because
hey,
it was crazy.
Blur, I know you have it. Blur, I'm asking you because I know you have it. Can you send me the link of what Dion actually said? I just want to put context around it. Who has it?
Oh, yeah. I'll put it on there.
Okay, I figured you had it. I don't know. I didn't mean to call you out. I just figured you had it.
Y'all got to stop policing people's bodies, yo. Stop policing women's bodies, yo.
What are you talking
about? Stop making
you don't sleep in anybody's body. I'm just telling you to put on a shirt.
Yo, stop telling me what I got to wear, yo. All right. So we good with that? Anybody got any more? Yo, I think y'all are out of control.
Great discussion.
I can't wait
Great
for
discussion.
The next time. I can't wait for the next time on the internet somebody tells y'all black people got to do something and y'all get up in arms, because the first thing I'm going to tell y'all is Deion Sanders told y'all to put on the shirt. I'm just telling y'all now.
Okay, I already had to do it, so I don't care.
What'd you have to do in college?
Yes.
You had to dress up? Because you were female?
No, because I was a professional student.
But all you do is wear scrubs. Why do you have to dress up?
I've only worn scrubs for the last 2 years.
All you wear is a white coat. I've seen you wear just regular clothes under a white coat.
I wear black slacks and a blouse.
Hey, did you have to wear your lecture hall classes? Your lecture hall classes when you got like 300 people in, you got to
hold on, MX, because I think I just proved my case. Did they make y'all wear suits if all you're going to do in your no, let me finish. My point. Don't cut me off. Trevor, don't cut me off. Don't cut me off. People have to hear my question. I know you know what I'm saying. We're talking on a radio show. Me and you aren't arguing. Listen, why at your prestigious private black school did they make you dress up when you got your doctorate, got your degree, got a good job, and all you do is wear a white shirt under regular clothes? What was the point of wearing business on? I mean, a white coat. I'm sorry. A lab coat.
It still has to be business casual.
Honey,
and
you just be chill.
Place I go to, if I go in my profession, I can't wear anything.
You go to your job in regular clothes. You just put a white coat over it, a white lab coat.
What's regular clothes? It ain't no slides and no cut-off shirt.
If you wore a cut-off shirt, no one would notice because you have a white lab coat.
If they came in, yes. They would.
If they're going to go underneath your clothes, then they would have a problem with me. You wear your white coat buttoned up. I see. I know it's buttoned up. When you go to lunch, you want them to police your body when you go to lunch? I'm here for the women's movement.
Okay, if I didn't wear a lab coat, so then what am I going to wear?
Whatever the job tells you to wear.
Exactly.
This ain't a job. It's college. You're paying. The job is paying you. They can tell you what to wear. You're paying to go to college.
You gotta wear.
None of those kids are paying to play on that football team.
Oh, yeah, no. Some of them are. Jackson State ain't got water. Not all them kids.
Well,
are
yeah. So.
I can end that for you right now, Big Cuz. Some of them kids are paying, and I feel bad because they ain't even got no water.
Hey, B.
My child
can go. I got one more point.
My
kids are going
really well. All the kids get great.
Go ahead. But the eight points, right? 8 points point was you dress for the job you want, right? That's what he said, right? Is 8 points still here?
Correct.
Yeah, he's still here.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still there. So what if I want to be a football player? I want to be a professional football player, yo. If I want to be a professional football player, they ain't in suits unless they're going to the game. So I want to be, and if I want to be a professional bodybuilder, what they wear, cutoffs and shit. And they show their guts.
They wear tight.
So if I'm rocked up.
The banana hammock.
If they rocked up. If I'm rocked up and I want to be in a professional circuit, so then I should be able to do that thing. Right?
Wait a minute. So why do they wear suits to the NFL draft? They prepare for the draft.
I said if I want to be a bodybuilder or if I want to be a professional athlete, I need to rock up. I need to show people my guns and shit. So that should fit, right? Because I'm dressing for the job I want.
True. And if you want to be a tattoo artist, you put tattoos all over your face. Dress for the job you want. You're absolutely 100% correct.
Right. If I'm an MMA, if I want to be an MMA fighter, then yeah, yo, I'm gonna be testing some Tai Chi shit. You know what I mean? And they don't wear shoes anywhere.
That's exactly what I said. Dress for the job you want. That's exactly what I said.
That's what I'm saying.
You proved my
point.
That's
why I like you, 8 points.
You proved.
That's
you
why I like
you actually
A-point.
Proved my point.
That's why I like you, man. I just want to let you know I like you.
Love
buddy.
You too, bro.
Yeah.
Can I just point out one thing? And this to you, Gunn. You can say Deion Sanders ain't tell nobody
Williams.
Nothing. He told
your
players what to wear. Doug Williams ain't never been
fired
from Grambling. He'd go back there and get a job right now if he wanted to.
Who?
Doug. Doug is a legend of that campus. He'd go back and get any job he wants.
That's why they ain't good. They need to hire. They should have hired my racist man from Baylor.
wait. He wasn't a racist. He was a rape apologist.
Hey, Blur. Didn't y'all football team like just refuse to go to practice and games because y'all facilities but you want them to wear some cut off shirts and not cut off doors or some shirts and all that kind of stuff. But you got people. Because of that, but they boycott practice and games for the facilities. But damn sure they're gonna sit in the front of the classroom and wear no slides and been dressed properly though, right? Come on, man, where your priorities at, man?
Yeah, and that's you know what, and Doug was on that too. He was like, hey, we because they had the I don't even know exactly why he couldn't just give them the money because this one Doug wasn't coaching. He's like, hey, I got people who want to contribute money. It wasn't so much as the facility, it was the bus. It's like, yo, y'all can't be having us riding these buses all the time. We're going to have – y'all want us to go travel all these places and, you know, represent for Grambling. Then, yeah, y'all got to hold us down. Y'all ain't going to have us on these buses for no 40-hour bus trips to Florida or wherever we're going to go play at. Book us a flight because we're representing Grambling. The same way y'all tell us, whenever we walk out the door, we representing Grambling. And so we got to look like we represent Grambling. Y'all got to do the same thing. Y'all got to make sure Grambling is represented when we traveling.
Was you represented?
I guarantee
that was the whole thing because we had boosters and everybody ready to give money for the team, but they had money had to go to other places first.
So they wouldn't have boycotted if you let them just wear some cut-off shirts. So I just want to say that, yeah.
Hey,
I just want to say this. I know a young man who plays for the University of Alabama football team. They have the same dress code. That's all I'm saying. You prepare for the success.
That's dumb. That's not – look, and this is my argument. Oh, my God. See, this is why I wish – because there are other coaches out here who make their kids dress up, and they're just shitty coaches. Their kids – their team isn't any good. It has nothing to do – because all these lessons that you think that you're telling these kids dress up that they're going to learn, none of that shit matters. None of it. Unless you're telling your kid, hey, you're going to a business class that's preparing you to work in the business world. This is how you should dress to prepare yourself. But if I'm going to a, what was one of my favorite class? Blacks in America class. I didn't have to get dressed up to learn about how terrible white people treated us. I just wanted to get the education and learn about history. It had nothing to do with how I dress. And Deion Sanders really wants these – look, and you want to know what the sad part is? If we're going to – yeah, it was taught by a white lady with black kids. I was in the Amherst. You know how I am with people? No, that was my anthropology class. Well, once I stepped in that class, I was like, oh, I'm not going to pass this. Somebody said, oh, I got all the test answers. Sign me up. But all I'm saying is we got to stop equating with dressing with anything else but preparation for a job. But if you're not going for a job, you don't need to dress a certain way. Education has nothing to do with dressing or presenting yourself. If you want to put yourself in a certain light.
Did you just say dressing don't have nothing to do with how you present yourself?
Yes, it doesn't.
I think
so. You think all
boxers? I'm glad I'm not the only one that thought
think,
that. I'm just saying.
Do you think?
Yeah. That didn't some come out right. But I understand what you're saying. But that
some of them
come
are.
Off right.
No, they're not.
Some of them are
fine.
It didn't come off
say.
Right. Blur, you wrong for pointing it out too, though. By the way.
What?
Hey, you caught it too. Don't let them wrong for pointing out. You know they ain't make no sense.
I'm just saying, yeah.
I didn't point it out.
Okay.
I didn't point it out. You pointed
what?
It out, though.
What? What?
That people address bad
reporting. That's what y'all say that I said it bad. It was bad. No, I'm saying that if you're saying that how you dress presents yourself, then you're saying that every bum is a terrible person because they dress bad. But we know that's not true. They're just in bad situations.
Let me ask you. I have an analogy for you.
Who said that?
Y'all have an analogy for you.
No. Hey, real quick.
No.
Y'all know I got
let me just say this. Some girl comes up to your door. She wants to take out Young Jay. My man.
I'm married.
You know, she's dressed very, very presentably. And then another girl comes up with
what is presentable
all out. You know, she has some jeans on, a t-shirt.
I live by the beach. Because I live by the beach. There are kids running up and down my street in bikinis all the time. I live by the beach, baby. That's what we do. Feet out. Toes is out. Feel the same. Feel the ground the same.
Feet
and toes, baby. It happens.
Okay, so flip it around then. Say she walks up wearing three sweatpants, holy shoes, and a triple goose walks up.
I'm gonna tell him that we keep the house on 70. You'll never be comfortable next to her because her house is gonna be too warm.
Hey, Blur, that's
but she might be a nice person.
Bye, yo.
We have an account on the phone that did just that, yo, when he was in college, yo.
Yep. My man, dude, shout out to Africa, Sierra Leone. He slept in a beanie and two hoodies. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, y'all got to stop shaming people for how they look, yo. Y'all sound racist, yo. Yeah, it got quiet, didn't it?
Yeah,
no,
it
no
make
one,
no sense.
I was on mute.
That's not
no one's shaming people
man.
By how they look. What
judging,
was just saying?
Judging people by how they
you
dress
prepare
is not
yourself
racist,
for success.
Hold on, let 8 point go. Let 8 point go. He be quiet. Let 8 point
you
go.
Got it. judging people on how they dress and how they look, that's not racist. Come on now. You know that, man.
That's why I'm saying they should be able to go to class however they want. Stop judging how they look.
True. Look. You're right. You can go to
Thank
class
you.
However you want to dress. You're right.
There you go.
Absolutely. 100%.
Hold on.
But you
Eight
dress
point.
For
I
the
am,
job
I am
you
judging
want.
You, I'm judging you by your protractors, rulers, and pencil, yo. That's what I'm judging you by. You know? I don't give a shit how you dress. If your pencil is sharpened and you got the right protractors and rulers and shit, you can design and architect whatever the fuck you want for me, bro. I promise you, you can do that shit in your boxers and a wife beater, and I'm still going to hire you if your pencil is sharp and you got the right protractors, yo. Like, that's
I got to call bullshit. I call bullshit. I don't even think of getting the room.
No.
I got to call bullshit.
I'm not calling bullshit on that. I'm not. Yeah,
yeah he shows up my house with a protractor and some boxers. You're not building my house.
Exactly. You showed him the door.
No,
man.
But he's – no, first of all, he's not showing up in your house that way. He's designing your house in that shit with the protractors and rulers, and he's going to come up with that lay-ass design because that's what he does, and he's going to be like, this is the shit. Accept it. You find somebody to build that shit for you.
Yeah. Who
that
you,
sounds
who
like
you
a bad
hire? The guy
scene,
that shows
Mike.
Up with the wife beater or the guy that shows up with a suit and tie with a protractor?
I promise you, I'm not trusting the guy that shows up as an architect with a fucking suit and tie on. I'm not trusting that guy. I'm
okay.
Definitely
not trusting him. You're fucked up.
Exactly.
Yo, we bugging now. Yo, y'all bugging. Y'all bugging now. You're not going to trust an architect who wears a suit? Come on.
I'm not because I don't feel – I won't take – I think he's trying to pay for money. I feel like if he was just in some jeans and T-shirt and he came in and was like, yo, boom, 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 here's my design. I'm trusting him way more than somebody that's going – because I feel like he's trying to swindle me. I feel like he's trying to swindle.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you right now.
You're the guy that takes the lowest bidder.
No, I didn't say lowest bidder. I just said I'm going to trust you because I feel like you're just
going down to earth. No, I said you
There's
are the guy that takes the lowest bidder.
Oh, no, I'm not. But I'll tell you what, though.
Yeah, you are.
If you fucking get an IT person and he's in a suit and tie, don't trust that motherfucker because they don't know what the fuck he's talking about. Because I guarantee you that all the senior level motherfuckers are at home talking about, yo, can I work from home on your shit? Because I ain't coming to you at no point of work. Because you can't pay me enough to come to you, right? I can fix your shit at home. And I can get in all your
shit at home.
Dress
for the job you want. I'll say it again. I said it about 10 times tonight.
Man, listen. Y'all tripping.
Hey, put y'all backgrounds on mute. We got closed out. We got a lot of people tonight. I can't believe we stayed on Mississippi for 2 hours. Yo, it's been a great show, man. Thanks for everybody for calling it. It's been a lively discussion. We got serious for that first hour. Got some jokes in for the last hour, man. I appreciate all y'all calling in. We do got to end the show and get on out of here. So, you know, I'll go around the horn. We only got about a couple of minutes left. So, you know, make sure you say your piece, say your last comments, man, and make sure you join us back next weekend. So, DJ C. Sire, anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Have a great Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, it is Labor Day. Well, who we got celebrating? We celebrate dead military people? Or is this some military people?
No, it's Labor Day.
I can't.
All right, shout out to the military.
It's not military.
Labor Day is not military. Oh, shout out to all the workers. Foreign and domestic. Mexican and Southboardian. All right. Big Cuz, SJ, you want to say anything to the people before we roll? Last comment?
Yeah, just last comment. And it's a serious one. It's going back to the Mississippi water issue. Make sure you get in contact with your city and your local officials. Find out where your money's going. Do your research. It's out there. It's all free. If you really want to improve your neighborhood, you got to do your research. And just don't take anybody's word. That's Jay Saturday.
Cuz, always appreciate you having me, man. You got to come join us again, man. Good talk, man. I knew once we got an argument on the internet, I was like, oh, we got to talk about this Thursday. So great having you.
Absolutely.
My man, A-Point, anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Yeah, man. I don't get to chime in every week. It was fun chiming in this week. Love all the opinions. It's fun. Fun talk.
What time are you gonna be back from Charlotte?
Dude, I'm back at 4:00, man. We're gonna be tailgating at ODU.
All right, man. Well, hit me up when you get back. My man, M Extra Money at the restaurant calling in. I appreciate your dedication.
Hey, man. Love being here. Just want to say, 8 Point, go to Onyx before you come back. Shout out. tinyurl.com/SigmaWaterDonation. tinyurl.com/SigmaWaterDonation is the link. Donate to the Jackson, our efforts to relieve some of that issues that's going on. We're purchasing water for Jackson, Mississippi. And hey, man, just for success, man, you never know what you're going to get, as Forrest Gump was going to say. I'm out.
All right, make sure you put that link in our group chat so I can share it on my socials, because I couldn't write it down because I'm on the phone doing all this stuff. So, yeah, put that link in there so I can share it on the show's site and all that stuff. My man Blur, what you got?
Yo, next week we got to talk about Stacey Dash's clone, man. I think they replaced her. But on this week, I do want to let y'all know, man, real quick, I never wore my Grambling uniform out and about because that just wasn't me. I was gray sweats all day. And I got caught stealing from the mall, not by, like, the people at the stores in the mall food court, and someone saw me steal food from the Chinese place. He didn't know me. I didn't have anything Grambling on, but he walked up. He paid for my food, then he walked up and gave me money. And he was like, nah, you can't do that. Not you. And I knew exactly what he meant. Not somebody from Grambling, representing Grambling, can't be caught stealing. So you can change and you can mature in college because that changed. I knew exactly what he meant, and everything clicked. While my coach used to talk and get on us like that, everything clicked right there. I was representing Grambling, and if I would have got caught stealing Chinese food from the mall, And I only stole it just because I'm like, yo, man, I'm in line. The line is long, and I can just walk off. So I walked off. Nah. It clicked right then. And I'm not doing. I'm not just representing myself. Representing my parents. Representing Grambling.
And it had nothing to do with your sweatpants or your business casual suit. It was just you were being lazy. I just want to point that out.
Nah, I represent though. Always, you're representing somebody other than yourself.
I'm just saying, when you stole, it didn't matter what you had on. You just decided to steal.
Nah, just like you know the football player, he knew I was with the Grambling track team. I didn't. I wasn't wearing the NFL Grambling on it, but he knew I was with them. And so you know a football player, and you know when they look sloppy, you represent the football team.
But what I'm saying to you is, when you decided to steal, it didn't matter what you had on. When you decided
you keep
to present yourself as a thief,
you equate the clothes to the learning or the actions. It's who you're representing
you
when you look sloppy.
You still
okay, yeah, you still look sloppy with flip flops on.
No, you stealing was sloppy. You stealing General Tso's chicken was sloppy. Not just flip flops.
It probably was orange chicken.
We can continue to have this argument another day, but always great having you, my brother. New York, you were silent all day, yo, and I know you just back there laughing, but the floor is yours, man.
Look, I know I came on late and everything like that, you know what I mean? So I'm going to make it short and sweet, you know what I mean? Practice health and wealth, all that, you know what I mean? Death to all mosquitoes because I just got bit up on my leg. Other than that, you know what I mean, drink water, save the bees, stay healthy out here in these times. But other than that, I look forward to the conversation next week. You up?
Can't wait to have y'all next week, man. Good talk tonight. Not much really else to say. We're going to let the news take us out. Hopefully they don't do us and take us out, literally. Maybe if I wear a suit, they won't see me. Why are you looking at me like that?
She's a kid, she's better come out with it.
It's so weird.
We got you surrounded. I'm in the back, changing my outfit.
That's
what I'm talking about. I said, wait, here I come. Here I come. Here I come. You boys get ready.
Oh, what?
Here I come. Here I come. Here I come. She's a kid.
That's what
we're
what?
Your hands up. We got you surrounded. I'm in the back, changing my outfit.
I'm
in the back, changing my outfit. I said, wait.
Kick a football player. They're already giving
you
an answer.
You're right.
I'm the power of the ball.